I've got a solution, feasible, realistic, cost-effective, for how the Steelers go about fixing their wide receiver room this year. And I'm going to break it down for you guys in 5 minutes. I want to start, though, with what Dulac wrote over the weekend about Pickens. He said, in talking about their plans, he made it, this is exactly how he phrased it, for when the Steelers move on from him. Not if, when. And the question really seems to be right now, do they do it now or do they do it after the 2025 season? No extension, not going to make a deal with a guy who they can't trust, but do they try to squeeze one more year out of him, try to get one more year out of production, pair him with somebody else, and then let that guy replace him the following season, maybe bring somebody else in, you to do it 1 year at a time, bring in a wide receiver this year, bring in another wide receiver next year, and those two guys
take over for
George. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's how I read the Dulac thing. I'm guessing you feel the same way.
Well, there's no other way to read it. I mean,
and he wrote it in such absolute terms where, again, it made me feel like he's talked to Art.
The last sentence is like the one that makes me feel like it's one of those deals where Art says something and says, you can basically write this, just rewrite it a little bit. It's pick it. This is like, for people that know, Donnie, he uses a word that if I used it on the air, there's a word in here that if I use this, Pony would say, Donnie, what's that mean? Here we go. Pickens has a year remaining on his contract, and the Steelers have learned their lesson about giving second contracts to recalcitrant receivers. Recalcitrant, define it.
I'm just going to go off the context clues and say troublesome.
Yeah. Poor at dealing with authority.
Authority, yeah.
Like, specifically troublemakers when it comes to
take
authority.
Take that SAT.
That is as damning of a sentence as you'll see Jerry write.
I called this when we were, I think, when I was sitting in the cabana in Vegas before the Raiders game, and we were all on together, and Jerry wrote the article on a Friday about the eye black thing and the way it was like appalling potentially to the Rooney family because of their Catholic values and things like that. And I said, I'm telling you right now, he's getting this right from Art, and I don't think an act like this is going to bode well for his future with the Steelers. And then it just snowballed into worse things, like his behavior leading to on-field lack of production. So I think the die's been cast on that. I don't think George is going to get another...
Here's
contract.
The question, Pony.
Okay.
I think Jerry putting in, or the caveat, is it going to be after 2025? I'll go back to something you and others have been very astute about. I think Kabali was the first one to say it. How on earth do you bring him back this year and think you're going to get anything out of him?
So we agree on that too?
Well, I understand.
Because I would not bring him back.
I understand the devil's advocate side of what leverage does he have. He has to be aware, or his agent has to be aware on some level, that he's kind of considered radioactive by some in the league. I don't think that stuff has ever mattered much to George as far as how he's going to conduct himself. I would try to deal him now. I would. Because you have no idea what could happen this season. What if he just not shuts it down, but just more or less has an even worse season and the problems continue as far as like attitude on the field, everything else?
So that's where I'm at. Get
something rather than getting nothing.
We've thrown this out there before. Do you want George back? Do you want to take a chance on him again? Do you punt on it now and get as much as you can now? Or do you just let him walk in free agency after next year and try to win with him for one more season and hang on and just hope and pray that he is motivated by trying to get a new contract? 412-928-9370. If you want to weigh in on that. But I said at 3 o'clock for less than $20 million, or about $20 million, I could fix the Steelers wide receiver room. And I think I can, and it does not involve George. So here's how I would do it. I would give a free agent wide receiver a very short-term deal that paid him $15 to $16 million a year to be my 1A next year. And that player for me is Keenan Allen, who they should have traded for last year. He's not going to re-sign in Chicago because they have DJ Moore there, and they have Roma Dunze, who they picked in the first round of the last draft. He put up like 800 receiving yards this year. That's
750.
750. That's exactly the kind of production you want from a number two wide receiver. He runs great routes. He's an always open guy. He's somebody that can help guys too. Not that I put a ton of value in that.
Essentially, when he's healthy, he's a 1,000-yard machine. This is the first year out of the last seven that he wouldn't have been a 1,000-yard guy if he played the whole season.
And I know he's in his early 30s. That's why I'm not going long term. I'm giving him, that's my first step in fixing the room, and it's not going to cost me a ton of money. It's not a Higgins deal. It's not a Chris Godwin deal. It's not giving a ton of money to one guy. It's short term. It's reasonable. There you go.
Is he good enough right now at this age to get open still on his own? Or is he, like, DJ Moore was the guy in
Chicago.
So.
I mean, I don't think he gets doubled up, and I think one-on-one he still gets open. I think when in doubt this year, Caleb Williams, when he needed big plays in the second half of the season, he went to Allen. It's not like the guy looked like he was Mike Williams here.
No,
his old teammate.
He was pretty steady on catches and targets. He was getting thrown to routinely.
So that's the first move I would make.
Okay.
And then the second move I would make is I would, with the 21st pick, I would take Emeka Ebuka from Ohio State. And now I've got him, like Brian Thomas last year at LSU. He's going to be my number one wide receiver. Allen is my two. Calvin Austin is my three. And Roman Wilson is my four. And with a cost-effective free agent signing and putting a first-round pick in a wide receiver for the first time since Santonio, now I've got a legitimate wide receiver room. You can win with that. It's doable. It's not pie in the sky. It's not asking the Steelers to go outside of the comfort zone, their comfort zone. It's not doing anything so like bold or risky that it might hurt you short term and long term. It's just a very realistic way of going from being one of the worst wide receiver rooms in the NFL to being probably league average or maybe better.
The problem I have with Ebuka in there, I've read people say he's still a slot in the NFL, like a big, burly slot receiver. I'd at least be willing to see if he could play on the outside, because then you'd have the whole plane being made out of slot receivers. When you brought up Brian Thomas, though, that's what stuck with me. Man, Brian Thomas was like a physical freak and played like one at the NFL
level. I'm talking
level.
About
like,
a guy is not picked in the top 10 who comes here and puts up big numbers. That's what I mean by that. You can take a wide receiver.
He doesn't have to be in the top five
or top 10 for the guy to be a very productive player right off the bat.
No, he can. He's got, I mean, I'm looking at his draft profile, and they have him as being a 4.3 30 guy, which I doubt he will run at the combine.
What do you mean?
Ebuka.
Why do you doubt that?
I don't know. That just seems like if he's 6'1", 205 and running a 4.3 flat, which is what this has, he would be much higher than the 21st pick.
I mean, Brian Thomas wasn't, and he had unbelievable off-the-chart measurables. But he had the same thing that Ebuka's problem. He was a Robin. He was a Robin at LSU to neighbors.
He ran 4.33. That's still slower than Ebuka.
By hundredths of a decimal here. I mean, the guy was a Robin to Marvin Harrison Jr. and the same thing with Jeremiah Smith. But I think on his own he's a tremendous player. He fumbled last night, didn't he? Do I have that right? Didn't he fumble?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Maybe that'll cost him a couple draft slots. Get him down to 21.
I mean, he's considered what? I looked it up. It's fourth best wide receiver in this class. McMillan from Arizona is number one, I think, like by a pretty considerable margin. Who are the couple other ones that would be ahead of
the kid
Ebuka?
From Missouri's a
yeah,
big
thank
target.
You. And then there's one other guy that must be ahead of him. I don't like
use a first round pick and then bring in a veteran. And I
here's
think
the problem. Here's
you've got
actually it the
solved, and you don't have to just keep your fingers crossed that T. Higgins wants to cross enemy lines and play for you for $35 million a year.
They have so many other needs though right now too, man.
Like what?
Defensive line. Not a big need.
I'm sorry. If we need to pour another first round pick into a defensive position, I'm going to puke with the amount of money they've spent
cornerback.
There. Cornerback? Yes. Too bad. Go find those guys in the second, third, and fourth round.
Ah, yes, because they've got an illustrious track record of taking mid-round corners.
Ah, yes, and
their
first round cornerback history is so great. See Chad Scott and Artie Burns. I mean, I just, I'm sorry. I'm really.
It's an offensive league, so I'm playing something of a devil's advocate here. But what makes
to
you
yourself?
Think that, what makes you think Igbuka is going to put up big numbers in an offense that might want to run the ball 50 times a game?
I don't know. What makes me think any guy that they draft at wide receiver would, or even any free agent they'd sign?
That's kind of the fundamental problem.
You've got to at least get the pieces here to make it a possibility. You've got to get the players here to at least create an offense that has the potential to put up numbers. I can't have this defeatist attitude where it's like, well, we're not going to throw the ball or score points anyway, so let's just go all in on defense and keep investing in defense.
The plan hinges just so much, I feel like, on Igbuka being as advertised, because I wonder what Keenan Allen looks like in the Steelers'
offense.
Donnie,
your reaction. Your take. Your 2 cents. Your thoughts on everything.
Well, I'm definitely good on that move in the draft. I told somebody yesterday, it might even have been Johnny the Barber when he called in, that I think Igbuka is going to be my version of the drafted player that I become obsessed with. Pony had his with Kenny Pickett. Oh, Malzi's pick was Broderick
Jones.
We're
0-for-2 in that department, pal.
Hopefully I can save the farm a little bit here if they do take this guy. But something else I've said, Ohio State receivers, as much as Johnny will joke about it too, he's on hold, by the way, as much as he would joke about it, picking an Ohio State receiver, you can do a lot dumber things in the draft, because it's often than not those guys are going to be pretty good.
Who's the last really bad one there?
That was picked high?
Yeah. Olave might have a short career because of concussion issues, but I would say
he's a bad player.
No,
though,
he's
yeah.
good. Garrett Wilson's good if he hadn't been like saddled with the yoke of crappy Aaron Rodgers who hated him. Harrison Jr. had a disappointing year. Go look up his stats. They were still very good.
And your opinion is to dump Pickens and not try to get the extra year out of him?
Yeah, I would.
If you dump Pickens and you can somehow get a third, that allows you to plug a hole. You want a mid-round corners and defensive linemen. There you go. I just think the onus has to be on them
with the playmakers they already supposedly have on defense to draft guys on day two or day three and turn them into good players and spend some money and spend some resources and spend some high picks on offense here, because that's the side of the ball that's lagging behind right now.
I want to stress, though, I think we're not like really disagreeing with each other. I guess what I'm voicing is like a subtle frustration that they haven't done a good job, in my opinion, of drafting middle-round defensive players who have made big impacts.
I mean, they haven't done a good job of drafting offensive players in the first round either. See Najee Harris, Kenny Pickett, and Broderick Jones in back-to-back-to-back years.